These are the Kashi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kashi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hello, everybody. John Hewlett here, along with my partner,
Favaz.
And this is the Kashi Tapes, episode 55.
Yes.
Now, this one is an interview I did with Melissa Etheridge back in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of aware of this interview because I was there.
Oh, that's right.
I was there because I'm a huge Melissa Etheridge fan.
And were you running the control board that day or what?
No. Shyla Palamand, who was Al Hofer's assistant at the time, said, hey, Melissa Etheridge is coming in for an interview. She knew that I'm a big Melissa fan. So I remember I was living on Chippewa at the time. I think I was sick that day. I don't remember, but I was like, okay, I'm coming in. You did the interview with Bird, who right. we'll hear here, in Gary Bennett's old studio.
That's right.
So it wasn't live on the air.
No.
I sat there and just watched the whole thing. And I know I got her autograph, and it was a thrill just to be, you know, that close up to her. Because I had been a fan since, you know, for going on 4 or 5 years by then.
And she was very playful. And Bird, I thought, was asking, you know, a lot of the straighter questions. And, mm-hmm. and I sensed that she was playful, and she wanted to have fun. And so I was just goofing off most of the time.
You kept it real, John. No, like I usually do.
I don't say I kept it real. It's probably silly and stupid.
No, I think you did. No, I mean, I'm being serious. No. Being dead serious.
Well, and at some point, you don't want to tune out of this because, if you're not a Melissa Etheridge fan, because something dramatic is going to happen as this interview progresses.
Yes.
I think, anyway.
It's something that we've talked about playing. And we've hesitated to play this interview because of what happens. And we're just like, screw it.
Screw it. Yes, let's see what happens. So, again, this is Melissa Etheridge going back to 1993. And it starts off very low key. Again, my partner at the time on the radio was a guy named Bird. So here we go.
Melissa Etheridge is with us. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
Nice to see you this early. My gosh, you look so radiant this morning.
I just can't help it. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
And fourth album, Yes I Am, just released. Are you pleased with it?
Yeah, yes I am.
And Yes You Are what?
Yeah.
What is that in response to?
Actually, that's just a statement. It's very hard to title albums, mm-hmm. and this album, I needed to put a strong, forceful statement, I believe, on it. And Yes I Am, I think.
How about Yes I Am and You're Not?
And You're Not. There you
maybe.
Go. Could be.
And the statement is.
Yes, I am strong
I am.
And straight.
John, were you pressing there?
I was pressing.
You were?
Yes.
Had she come out yet? I'm trying to remember.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So you were hoping
you know
that
what?
She...
I don't know. We have to double check that.
I'm not sure either. I'm going to have to look.
Yeah, I think she was. Yeah, I don't think I'd have said that if she wasn't.
All right, Johnny. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to tell you here.
And for those who don't know, Melissa Etheridge is gay. She's a lesbian.
Yeah. In fact, two of her kids were
David
Crosby's kids.
Yes.
From his semen. He donated. He was a donator.
That's right. Yeah. And now they're like 20-something years old. It's amazing.
And her wife's name at the time or whatever was Julie. She was Cypher. She
Julie
was a director.
Cypher.
Yeah. And they were together for a long time. They're not anymore.
Right. Yeah. So, Yes I Am. To me, it seemed obvious. That's why she named the album that. But she doesn't go there here in the interview. You got something there?
Does it say her self-titled, the record came out in 88, blah, 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 blah. Blah. No, just keep going.
Okay. I am, and I'm okay, and I like myself.
Yes I Am, and Yes You Are Too, or something.
So, balding, but see, that's different.
Yeah. Oh, thanks a lot, Bird.
Can't say that.
Yes, still.
Thanks a lot, Favaz.
So it's fourth album, and you have 2 platinum albums already under your belt. Young lady, what are you doing with all the money?
What about
you?
John single and looking for a partner.
Hey.
Of course I wasn't. That was 1993. I was married, and I had a daughter who's 2 years old. Right. Thanks, Bird.
I've done just fine. I'm living in California, which is not cheap. So,
but not originally from California.
No, originally from Kansas, not far from here.
When did you?
Hold on. Etheridge came out publicly as lesbian in January of 1993.
So just before
this, at the Triangle Ball, a gay celebration of President Bill Clinton's first inauguration.
Oh, we darn.
So, she had technically come out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot is going to happen in this interview. Do not go anywhere. All right, let's continue.
That's how you go to California, and what was the impetus for that?
When I was 21 in 1982, and just didn't feel like they were going to come to Kansas to sign me. So
right.
I felt
right.
Like
so
makes sense.
Good move.
You went with one of those rags to riches stories? Well, okay, rags to semi-riches. But went to California with nothing in your pocket?
Yeah. Well, I had, you know, I had a little bit. I had a little bit of money, not nothing. I bought a car. And a car, it got me
that'll
around.
That'll get you around.
Yeah.
Can you give us, like, tax files that you've
yeah.
No.
They'll be faxed to you any day now.
Yeah. Well,
you ask the riveting questions. Can you give us your tax returns?
I'm always interested in those. I don't care who you are, President of the United States or Melissa Etheridge or you, Favaz.
All right.
You know, you've had these two platinum albums, and things have gone very well for you. You say you're living in California. I would mm-hmm. imagine you have purchased yourself a nice home. Have you called it lately? Because you know,
fired.
I tell you that really shook me up when I
but your house
watched
is okay?
all that. My house is fine. It was right in the Hollywood Hills, and it just burned kind of around it all.
We have some wieners and marshmallows. If you'd like to head back really quickly, that
it's so sad.
Yeah, Bird, you were the wiener in the broom.
Yeah,
I know that. But
exactly. He's so lame. Man,
you know
but nothing's changed. They still have fires today.
Yeah,
yesterday I saw on the news.
Yeah, right in the heart of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Those homes are not cheap, the ones that were burning.
No, but you know what we're going to do is a little bit later on this morning, we're going to call some mobile home companies in Southern California. We're going to try and buy some mobile homes for Dwight Yoakam and things like that. With the fold-out
I guess some stock in mobile.
You're rolling your eyes again.
Oh, God. Because he would do that. Did he call for mobile homes?
No, I don't think so.
But he would do that kind of stunt.
Yeah.
Well, homes would be fine. Right. Well, you all know disasters. You had your floods this year.
Yeah,
we
really.
We had our fires this year. Yeah. Jeez.
Who do you live next to out there?
Who do I live next to?
Well,
actually, Milo is right next to me on the left, and Doug
Milo.
And Caroline are
Milo.
On the right.
Milo owns a bar
you
on
know,
the hill.
Milo. You know Milo.
No, who's Milo?
He's my next-door neighbor.
Oh,
you
okay.
know who lives next to me.
He's a gardener for Yoakum.
Do famous people like live next door to just average Joe Blows all the time
well,
out there?
Well, actually, down the street, a couple blocks.
John, have you ever been to California?
Yes, I have, but I've never been into the,
yeah.
into the
actually,
area
actually, Jeff
the stars,
Goldblum and Laura Dern live to the left, and Tim Burton lives to the right. Right.
And what do they do? Like, do they like not pick their trash cans up after the trash
you know
man
what
passes?
They
and
do
piss you off?
The
wind blows them out in the street. And
same
you hit with your
thing
car.
Everybody else does. I tell you, it gets really normal around there.
John, the digging, the journalism.
I think
is
you should send him out there.
Simply.
You should have him do a remote from the neighborhoods of Hollywood.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Okay, on a serious things, Grammy for Best Female Rock Performance. You missed a couple, and then you got on the third try. How did it feel when you got on the third try?
Yeah, just won a Grammy there too.
Yeah, and
we got her at a time in her career when she was at the peak, and she came in and still did this.
Yes,
that was
I amazing. Am. But I think she won the Grammy for New Artist back in '89. So this wasn't like her first, like she, you know, she was expected to do great things, and then she did, and you guys got her.
Yeah,
was absolutely a lot better than not getting it.
Is that the ultimate? Do you think as a performer, what would be the ultimate? Reward or the ultimate stroke, I guess, for you as a musician. Would it be a Grammy, or is there something else that you have in mind that you would think, when I do that, that's when I think that
Well, there's different categories of those things, you know. There's the recognition, which is, platinum records and Grammys and such. But to me, it's little things like being recognized by somebody that you've admired for a long time, you know that,
like
that,
John Hewlett.
Like there you go, that's the one.
You know, when I was driving through California one time in one of those neighborhoods, I was on one of those tour buses. Mm-hmm. Kirk Douglas.
You went on one of those tour buses.
Yeah, he was outside washing down his driveway with a hose.
I tell you,
Kirk Douglas.
I tell you,
that was true.
He was
true. Yeah,
yeah.
And he had his shirt off, you know, because he was in that in the television show.
Kirk, the Kirk Douglas.
Yes, Kirk Douglas.
Not
it was
Michael.
About water. It was about water. It was took place in the ocean, possibly. I think
a
it
movie?
Was. No,
water
it was a television
World?
Show.
Oh, I don't
it was
know.
A weekly television show. So to see him in his driveway with his shirt off, using his water hose to wash down his driveway.
Maybe you say it here. It was 26 years ago.
I know. Maybe
wow.
I do.
Or at least, do you remember when you were out there? Seeing that? Because the interview was 93.
No, I was out there early 80s.
Oh, my gosh. So it was way before.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Normalville out there.
So
that's another story. I don't know if I have time to tell it here. Let's tell it. I'll tell
what,
it.
What?
The first, when I went to Los Angeles, on that, and we went on that tour bus, I was with Mark Emo, who's, of course, a good friend of mine and was back then. Well, we were doing a contest here at the radio station. Steve Martin's movie was coming out called Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
I remember that.
So we had people write to us an essay to tell us why you think dead men shouldn't wear plaid. And so we had it down to the final two contestants. And I took them into Shelley Grafman, our former general manager here at the radio station, who was the subject of one of our Casey Tapes podcasts,
yes,
by the way. And he liked one from a lady, and I liked one from a guy. And he was the boss, so he wins out. But I was kind of arguing with him. I said, no, I think this guy's is better than this lady's here. I think it's just, you know, just a little better. No, we're going to go with this one here. All right, call them up and tell them they're going to Los Angeles, California with you. Okay. I call up the number. And I recognize the voice right away. And I'm going, what is this? I don't remember her name now. So-and-so? And she goes, yeah, it is. And she goes, is this you, John? And I said, yeah, I'm calling from KC Radio. You just won a contest. She goes, I'm Mark Emo's wife. I was using my maiden name.
Oh, my.
And I had no idea.
Huh? But wait. I thought Shelley liked the guys.
No, he liked the girls.
Oh,
I
liked
the guys.
So this is Shelley's winner.
Yes, this is Shelley's winner. I was arguing against that one to win, and it turns out it was Mark Emo's wife using her maiden name, which I did not know.
Wow.
So they won the contest. And you know, they're not family, you know, so they were legitimate to win it.
Wow. And Mark didn't let you know that
no,
his wife?
No, he said, I don't think he even knew she did it.
Wow.
Yeah, so we end up going to Los Angeles with them, and we were on the tour bus with them when that happened. But a crazy story.
That is a funny story.
Tour plans now, and what
tour
are you...
plans starting in January.
Right.
Starting in America. It's going to be a world tour. It's going to be, you know, Canada and Europe and Australia also, but I'll start out here.
You have a heavyweight band. Are they going out on the road with you? Or?
As far as I know.
Do you remember who her drummer was for a while?
Wait a minute.
Somebody you like.
Somebody I like.
And I think you said he follows you.
Yes. I've got John Mellencamp.
Right, old drummer.
Yeah. His name escapes me right now. Give me the first letter.
K.
Kenny Aronoff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are. Yeah. I mean, things change, but as far as
I know. How much money am I being paid?
Really? Say that can
forget be. It. I'm staying home.
So how did you end up getting all these people into the studio? I mean, a lot of these people have some, you know, some pretty long lists of people that they've worked with, like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, what's interesting is Waddy Wachtel, the guitar player, actually...
Wow, Waddy Wachtel.
Chad Waddy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Played on my first and second album, so it was a matter of calling him back up. And
that guy is all over the place.
He's
out
everywhere.
There, man. Amazing. Yeah. What a career. And he's not... Is he in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I'm not sure.
I have to double check on that. But some of these session guys should be.
Yeah. You know, like Steve Lukather.
Yeah, Steve Lukather.
It was his birthday yesterday. He's been on 1,500 different recordings.
Oh, it's amazing. He's on...
a session player.
Michael Jackson's Thriller album is...
He is?
The guys from Toto play almost, well, not all, but very much of that album.
Really?
Yes, yeah. And and Jeff Skunk Baxter is another one of those little guys, although he's been with the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan, but he's always on.
When I think of Waddy, I think of Stevie Nicks, because I know he's played with Stevie Nicks, too. He's gone out with her.
Steve Cropper is another name that comes to mind.
Gone out on tour with her, I should say.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, we want you to come in and do your thing on this album and rock out.
A lot of eyes in the titles. Did anybody point that out to you?
Actually, yes. Yeah. Actually, I even noticed it when I put it all down. And it's because it's a very strong, straightforward album. It's all very much, I am this way. I will never be the same way. Yes, I am.
I am lesbian. No.
Detect a lot of...
Sorry, I snuck that in there.
You did. That was John
Ulett. That was not
that
during
was
the...
U-L-E-T-T.
That was not during the interview, which I was hoping she would say earlier. But
yeah, that would have been a scoop. Well, not a scoop, but...
No.
It would have been a confirmation.
It would have been cute.
Yeah.
Of anger in relationships, maybe current, past. Have you had a hard time like a lot of us have had?
Well, like a lot of us have had. You know, it's one of those things you go through, you know, day by day, year by year.
Right.
Sure, and I write about it.
So you've been screwed around a bit then, right?
Well, I've settled down a little bit the last couple of years.
So I've heard she was quite promiscuous, Melissa Etheridge was.
Really? Where'd you hear that?
I don't remember. But I'm a fan. And so I used to read all the interviews that she would do, you know, anything I could get my hands on. And I remember, like, back in the, you know, that day and in the years before, she was on the road, man, and she would go.
She was the female Freddie Mercury.
Kind of. Yeah.
Wow. You know, Elton John says that he was not promiscuous. That's why he's still alive today. He
really?
Said back in the day when he was younger and he was gay and going to the clubs and stuff like that, his thing was watching other people have relations more so than him being involved. He thinks that's why he's still alive today.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
Years, but I've had my share.
Why?
Why? I'm 32. I'm tired now.
32. See, 32. I thought senility, the early stages of senility started with me in the early 30s, too.
See?
I
just, it's happening.
How old are you now?
Who are you?
36. 36 now.
Where am I again?
Yeah.
The early stages of senility.
Oh, I'm in the early stages of senility.
Yeah, in St. Louis. Why don't we shut up and why don't we let Melissa do something from your new album?
Yeah, I got my guitar.
Yeah, we're going to have to cut the actual songs off. She does two songs in this interview. She does... Welcome to My Window.
Uh-huh.
And Yes, I Am, title track.
I want personal copies of this because I want to hear it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, she is great. And she played that 12-string?
Yeah.
And she had that 12-string guitar?
Yes.
There. Oh, so good.
All right here. I thought I'd do a song.
Come to My Window. Yeah, not Welcome to My Window.
Yeah, Come to My Window.
All right.
Early signs of senility, I told you.
Yes, he is.
You're not going to do one of the I songs?
Well, it's My Window.
Okay.
Ooh.
Melissa.
Ooh. She goes right into it right there.
Okay.
So.
All right.
All right. So we
move forward.
Yeah. Woo! Woo! Yeah! All right. And I must say, John, you were very good on guitar.
Yeah.
Thank
hey,
you. Know
hey,
that,
hey,
you
now,
know
now.
What? That is Melissa on the guitar. That is a beautiful sounding right. guitar.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Wasn't it? I mean... Now, Favaz just heard the song.
John just played a good chunk of the song as we were moving forward in this interview because we can't play that. It was amazing.
It was.
She sounds great.
I know. And that guitar, God. Like I said, it just sounded so pure.
Yeah.
And remember, this is coming off a reel-to-reel tape that is 25 years old
that's crazy.
Been sitting in the basement.
Yeah. That sounds excellent.
Yeah.
Ovation
the 12 strings, yeah. And they're very rare. They custom made how many of them?
I don't know.
No, there's probably only, I think, about 12 in existence.
Yeah.
she, here we make trouble.
Huh. Not that many, so nice one.
Thank you.
Nice one. So have you taken a little bit of a breather?
Right now, you mean?
Yeah. I don't know. If I was doing that, I think I'd be out of breath by now.
I'm okay.
Well, you were a heavy smoker, I guess so.
Yeah.
You'd probably be out of What if he's still smoking?
I don't know.
I think he might be.
Bird was in Chicago. Last we heard.
Yeah, still is.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing like a weekend shift up there for the Lube, maybe.
Yeah.
You've been politically active lately. That was something that you had not been involved in the past. How did you – did you fall into that or was it maturation?
Yeah. It was a personal choice a couple of years ago that really I personally became aware and involved and concerned. And you start thinking, I have to do something.
Right.
And that's what, you know, got me all involved.
What issues are we talking about now?
We're talking women's issues. We're talking pro-choice. We're talking gay and lesbian issues. We're talking all those, yeah. Healthcare, all the stuff that's happening right now.
Nothing about cruelty to stuffed animals or anything
stuffed
else like
animals.
That? John is involved in a large movement
on
that
my
way.
List.
Yeah, I love winning them at Six Flags.
Yeah. So how was your experience that way? Do you feel like you might want to get into to politics,
oh,
or is
no.
it just a dabbling kind of thing?
It was just showing support and trying to support what I believe in and what they, you know, were saying at the time. So.
Is there anything specific that you can spout off now if you want?
No, I'm not very good at spouting and doing that sort of thing. I'm really not. They're good at saying it all, and I'm good at saying, you know what? That's what I think.
Okay. Yes. Me too.
Yes.
She's smart.
I think that's most people when it comes to political
issues.
There's
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Some people are really good at it and some aren't. I am not.
No. I'm like her. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah, you do it.
I'm good at singing.
Okay. Is there now this is an old question, but who did you listen to as you were growing up that kind of formulated some of the ideas of what you had for structure and whatnot?
I had a real cross-reference of music. I had my parents' music, which was Mamas and the Papas and
right.
Neil Diamond and Aretha Franklin. Then I had my sister's music. She was 4 years older than
me. Bay City Rollers, did that figure in
there? That was my music.
Oh, okay.
My sister had the Led Zeppelin and Jethro Tull and Humble Pie and some really rocking stuff. And then I grew up 30 days in the hole with pop in the 60s and 70s. And
a lot of your music is similar in the sense that it's generally acoustic with an electric in the background. Mm-hmm. Is there any time that you wish that you could step out of that quote-unquote Melissa Etheridge sound and do something a little bit out there for you as far as what your fans are?
Sure. You know, I like anything that's vocally challenging, whether it be a country western song and an easy old big band song.
If you ever just wanted to just do Child in Time by Deep Purple, just jump.
Sweet Child in Time. Sorry.
I don't know that one. I'd help you on that, but I don't know that one.
Ooh. No, not that one.
That's a 10-minute song, by the way.
Oh, great.
Not exactly that one, but yeah, I would love to sink my teeth into a good old Led Zeppelin tune or something. Really.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You do the Barney song?
No. That I can guarantee you I'll never do.
You'll never do that? Of all the people you mentioned, you didn't mention any of the female artists from the before.
Well, I didn't have many that I was looking up to at the time and really they were rocking me out. Mm-hmm. Linda Ronstadt, of course, was vocally the one I enjoyed. I didn't get into Janis Joplin until I was 21 and could understand it better.
Did you hear about the Janis Joplin tapes, some of the tapes that they've found?
No.
They're going to be releasing a whole bunch of new stuff. And
well, the hokey joke was coming down the line
I thought so, too. I thought so, too.
Although I've had a few of them myself already in the interview. Who am I to say?
Reputedly, they are genuine tapes that somebody had found in a dumpster outside one of the studios in L.A.
Now, tell us right now, if God forbid you ever get in an airplane crash or something.
And
are there any tapes hidden in your basement anywhere right now?
Actually,
that you hid for people 20
so
years from now to go back and find?
Remember this. This can be put in the time capsule. Yes, there's a box of tapes from I've got me singing when I was 13.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? John, do you have any shows in your basement just in case?
Old radio shows? Yeah. No, not
just in case. Old jokes, the best of John Hewitt in your basement, that sort of thing.
I do now.
That's right, baby. It's called the Casey tapes.
We should just stop tape here.
Put that one there.
Well, we paused for some reason.
Oh, you were taping this.
Yes.
It wasn't live.
Was
not live.
Those
are
not
live
on the air. Mm-hmm. We paused there because she put the guitar on me.
Oh, really?
Yes. And she's
right here, she's putting the guitar on you?
Yes.
Okay.
No, actually, that one there.
She put my fingers on the guitar.
Really small. The same frame. That's not going to work. You've got
John has given up golfing and has now got Melissa Etheridge's guitar on.
Okay,
he's about to play.
Move it over one. Put right there.
All right.
Right there. And that one up there.
Oh, my God.
Now.
Listen.
Hey, it's an E chord.
Hey.
John, how do you feel? Like an E chord.
The duet between John Hewlett and Melissa Etheridge.
Sing, Melissa, this.
It's not my key. I'm sorry. He's not my key. Oh, I got to teach him another chord. I have to teach you another chord. Oh, my God.
That was damn funny, John.
I mean,
you were playing a 12-string.
She put my fingers in the right spot. I've never been able to do that. I bought a guitar once.
Right.
I thought, I'll try to learn, and I just struggled like crazy. She put my fingers on those strings, and I just nailed it.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I used to play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I know.
Wow.
Now we have the echo.
Now this, you see, what we should do with this tape is we should probably bury this tape somewhere.
Yeah,
and then
right.
20 years from now, they'll find that.
Or 26 years from now.
They'll say,
The rarely heard Melissa Etheridge knick-knack paddywhack song.
I'm really going to try to teach him two chords so at least he can change them back and forth. Okay.
Actually,
you know what? He doesn't know where his fingers were before.
Oh,
that's Carl. You don't know where.
That was Carl, yeah.
I hear Carl.
And he's right. I didn't know where my fingers were before.
Where his fingers have been. I was
thinking that. Good one, Bird.
Yeah, we got to give him a rim shot for that one. Ba-donch.
Speaking of which, John, if you can learn two chords, three chords, you could probably play most Thorogood songs and most Sabbath songs. Does that interest you?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, there you go. Now, I'm looking at something here, Melissa, the Melissa Etheridge Information Network.
Melissa Etheridge Information Network.
Yeah, it sounds like some sort of form of CNN. What is that?
Yeah. Well, it's a big, long name for a fan club.
Okay.
But the best thing about it is that not only can you send your $17 in, you have your little, it costs a lot of money to put this stuff out.
Sure, it does.
You know, you get a newsletter and you find out what I'm doing, but you can find out what most of the fans want to know is where I'm playing live, because that's what I do best.
When
and
can we see you?
And they didn't have the internet back then.
No, you're right. You're right. I wonder where, I mean, has she been through here lately at all? I wonder.
Yeah, she
You don't
has.
Hear much about her anymore.
No, I mean, it was the Fox for a long time. Saw her there once.
She's probably a good pageant artist now.
She would be, but I think she played Fair St. Louis one year.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You call the Information Network.
Okay.
They're going to tell you.
Wait, I would call this number now. I would call this.
Well, you have to join it first, because you get your secret little PIN number that you can then get into the Information Network.
Right, but if I wanted to join, I would call the Melissa Etheridge hotline at 415-597-6760 in San Francisco.
Isn't that cool? That's exactly
it. And I would find out a little bit more.
Even beyond finding out where I'm playing is you can call and you can get front row tickets.
Wow.
Just at the cost of the ticket.
Okay.
You don't
have this
to
go is your show. Scuffers. This isn't anybody else's show.
This is just my show. Sorry.
Sorry.
Ooh, you've learned another one. That's E minor.
John, I'll tell you what. I have this really wild idea. Why don't you take that guitar?
What the hell is going on? I'm like, I can't
you
believe
moved
I'm doing this.
One finger and you got an E minor.
Yeah.
And give it to Melissa so that she can play.
No.
Why would
it
we do that?
It took a long time to get it on him.
Yeah, he had it on like a golf bag for a while.
Twist it around.
What happens when 50 people call and want front row tickets to a show in Tucson? Then what happens?
I don't know.
Not your problem, right?
Not my problem. All right.
That's still you, John.
That's me.
I can tell.
Doing rim shots with the guitar.
She was having a good
now,
time.
Now, John, do you have any...
We paused right there, and I think she took the guitar off of me, and now it's on her.
She was having a really good time.
She was, man. It was one of my favorite things ever happened to me in the radio business that day with her, yeah.
Big favorites that you'd like to hear from Melissa?
Well, I know a lot of your older songs. Yeah. Could you play one of those? I can sing backup vocals or something.
This is really painful.
Listen to me acting like a damn musician now. I'll sing some backup vocals for you. You need it? Just let me know.
Really bonding music today.
What song would you like to play?
I would like to do the title song from the album, Yes, I Am.
Yes, I Am?
Okay. Yes, it is.
Yep, I am. All right, Melissa Etheridge. KC95.
Okay, she went in and she did the song Yes, I Am, the title track from the new album.
And we listened to part of that, and she sounds so good.
Awesome.
You better send this to me, you man.
I'll send it to you.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Melissa Etheridge from the title cut from your latest CD, Yes, I Am, on Island Records.
There's more music yet to come that may shock you, so keep listening.
Yeah.
Available now at your record stores. Go out and buy it. Buy it. Now, just because I want to hear John do some background vocals, could you really honestly do something that people may remember
song,
from
John?
Days gone by? Bring me some water,
I mean,
maybe,
John? Any favorite song, anybody's song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just we can.
Oh, now you've opened up a can of worms. Yeah. You mentioned old Led Zeppelin. You know what?
See?
That might be kind of neat. What do you think?
A whole lot of love.
John, you are the musicologist. Come on, one song.
I know, but I just can't remember so many things.
Including your name.
I think we put him on the spot.
Do you have any favorites from Led Zeppelin that, you never get around to performing live, maybe?
Gosh.
No, I hate their music, Bird.
We're both...
What do you think I'll be able to sing better?
Oh, I'll...
See, first you have to know my range.
Right, okay.
Oh, man,
this hurts. I mean, that's fine.
You have a natural range, because you said you couldn't sing earlier when we were singing
whatever it was.
Yeah, the you said it's out of my range. Yeah. You didn't want to sing. So how do I know what my range is?
You are not home on the range, that's for sure.
No. Folsom Prison, possibly? No, I hear
what
the train coming.
What would I
no?
Yeah. I hear the train coming.
Around the bend.
Right. I'm back up vocals.
Yeah. Maybe something by Liz. Hang on.
So you're...
We paused right there.
This is so funny. Okay.
You're just trying to come up with a
song.
Right. And I don't know why I couldn't think of anything.
Okay, I got it. Wait. Stairway to Heaven. John knows that one, don't you, John? You know Stairway to Heaven.
See. haven't played this since I was in seventh grade.
Melissa Etheridge and John Hewlett duetting.
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven.
Everybody now.
When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed.
Take it, John.
With a word, she can get what she came for.
Oh. We have to go on.
Oh, I wanted more.
Listen to what she says at the end, too.
Okay.
You mean it wasn't good?
John.
You mean?
Wow. Gosh. Unbelievable. Well,
you know, that's a first. I've never sung that with anyone else.
Wow, how about that,
I'm
man?
I'm so jealous. You know, you're jealous of McCartney. I am. I was there, and I'm still jealous. Damn it.
Are you kidding
it's
me?
It's an absolute first.
Put the tape in the basement. 20 years from
20
now.
20 years.
We're both
or 26.
How about that?
You're going to say, yeah, that's most sensitive. But who is that?
Oh, when I'm dead and gone, I said, wow, how about live this?
Yes, you have.
Another guy. Who was
the
who
tonal
was
quality?
I'm going to search.
If we could have just found him 20 years ago, yeah, he would have had a career.
And maybe a hairline. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and maybe a hairline.
Thanks a lot, Bird.
Oh, gosh. Melissa Etheridge, thank you very much for spending some time with
guys,
us this morning.
Guys, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
This has probably been the weirdest radio show you've ever
had. It rates up there.
Yeah.
It rates right up there, I have to admit.
We appreciate it very much. Thank you again.
The quality of the reel-to-reel
keep
is fading.
Going. Yeah, keep going.
The new album, Yes I Am.
Yes,
you is. It's available on Island Records. And any time frame when we might see you in St. Louis?
Boy, you know, somewhere between February and May, I imagine.
February and May. All right.
And we'll let you know as soon as I know.
In the new year. But the record is available now. Thank you very, very much for your time. And,
thank you.
And safe traveling. And
all right.
All of that.
All right.
And we need to do these. Carl, this is where you take over.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Melissa Etheridge.
Oh, okay,
yeah. Did she cut liners?
She did, but they're not on this.
They're not
team.
On this one?
They're on the reel-to-reel still.
Oh.
But which I still have here in the studio.
That was super cool.
It was so fun, man. And it all happened because she wanted to have fun, and she made it happen.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yes.
Yeah. I have another interview similar with Foreigner, with Lou Gramm and Mick Jones in the studio,
right, and
too.
You were singing. So the first time I saw Melissa Etheridge was at Mississippi Nights, and it was probably 1988 or 89. It was her first record, and they had a huge section of Mississippi Nights roped off. And I sat right by that section, and I was like, what is the deal here? It was her family. And her friends.
Oh, wow.
Because she was from Kansas. And, and her dad, I think, was from St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
because
really?
She knows Ted Drews and all that.
I'll be darned.
And so I remember that night, I had to ask somebody that was in that section. I was like, what is this? Who? I'm Melissa's aunt.
Oh, really?
And I was just so thrilled to meet her. And she goes, we're all here just because, you know, she's doing the show here. And, you know, I just remember telling her that I was a big fan. And seeing Melissa Etheridge at Mississippi Nights. That was my first time.
Well, yeah. That's before she was very big, right?
She was starting to get big.
Oh, okay.
I mean, she sold out Mississippi Nights that night. So it was the buzz was there. And God, that and then to see her in the studio and you guys do Stairway to Heaven is super cool.
Yeah, I always root for her. I always before that, even before that interview, but even afterwards, even you know, even more so when you get to really see what somebody is like.
Yeah.
I mean, she is just a very nice, pleasant person I don't think she ever really fully accepted or realized what a big star she became. You know?
She may not have.
She's still as humble, as nice as ever. You know?
She did a thing on MTV, and I don't know if it was an Unplugged or a Storytellers or whatever, but she had Bruce Springsteen come on with her. And you know, I always, because I loved Bruce, you know, still do, in the you know, but I really liked him in the day, and I always compared the two of them. I was like, they're kind of the same in a way. They're storytellers
with
their songs, and here they played together, and it was just, that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, there was no hotter female rock star in America in the 90s than her.
Right.
You know, late 80s through the 90s.
And Casey played her.
Yeah, we did.
Back in the day.
Played her a lot.
Bring Me Some Water, and that first record. I think we played Yes I Am. I know Yes I Am is in the studio right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we played her a lot. Well, hope you enjoyed that 54th edition of Casey Tapes. I'm John Hewlett.
Is it 55 or 54?
What did I say?
You said 54th.
Oh, then it's 55th.
I think it's 55th.
Okay. Well, Favaz is the counter. I'm I'm just trying to hang in there. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan or on Instagram. I'm Johnny Hewlett.
And UMan, see you next week. And thank you for that beautiful rendition of Stairway.
I'll get you a copy. Oh, right. The Stairway, yes.
Yeah, I'll take that too.
Well, I only perform it with superstars like Melissa Etheridge, so don't think I'll be cutting anything with you in the near future.
No royalties for you.
All right. Take care.
AMF.
Adios, my friends.
The KC Tapes with UMan and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.